So by arrangement of the circumstances, I was requested to give class again today. So we will continue the analysis of yesterday's last verse. It's the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 19, Text 21. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Chapter title, The Lord Begs Charity from Bali Maharaj. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. Yavanta Vishaya Prishta Trilokyam Ajita Indriyam Nashaknuvanti Te Sarve Pratipurayitum Nripa. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. Yavanto Vishaya Prishtas Trilokyam Ajitendriyam Nashaknuvanti Te Sarve Pratipurayitum Nripa. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, Yavanta, as far as possible. Vishaya, the objects of sense enjoyment. Prishta, pleasing to anyone. Trilokyam, within these three worlds. Ajita Indriyam, a person who is not self-controlled. Nashaknuvanti, are unable. Te, all those. Sarve, taken together. Pratipurayitum, to satisfy. Nripa, O King. Translation. The Personality of Godhead said, O my dear King, even the entirety of whatever there may be within the three worlds to satisfy one's senses cannot satisfy a person whose senses are uncontrolled. Purport. The material world is an illusory energy to deviate the living entities from the path of self-realization. Anyone who is in this material world is extremely anxious to get more and more things for sense gratification. Actually, however, the purpose of life is not sense gratification, but self-realization. Therefore, those who are too addicted to sense gratification are advised to practice the mystic yoga system or Ashtanga yoga system, consisting of yama, niyama, asana, pranayama, pratyahara, and so on. In this way, one can control the senses. The purpose of controlling the senses is to stop one's implication in the cycle of birth and death. As stated by Rishabhadev, Nunam pramata kurute vikarma yat indriya pritaya aprinoti nasadu manye yata atmanoyam asan api kleshada asa deha. When a person considers sense gratification the aim of life, he certainly becomes mad after materialistic living and engages in all kinds of sinful activity. He does not know that due to his past misdeeds, he has already received a body which, although temporary, is the cause of his misery. Actually, the living entity should not have taken on a material body, but he has been awarded the material body for sense gratification. Therefore, I think it not befitting an intelligent man to involve himself again in the activities of sense gratification by which he perpetually gets material bodies one after another. As Srimad Bhagavatam 5.5.4. Thus, according to Rishabhadev, the human beings in this material world are just like madmen, engaged in activities which they should not perform, but which they do perform only for sense gratification. Such activities are not good, because in this way one creates another body for his next life, as punishment for his nefarious activities. And as soon as he gets another material body, he is put into repeated suffering in material existence. Therefore, the Vedic culture or Brahminical culture teaches one how to be satisfied with possessing the minimum necessities in life. To teach this highest culture, Varnashram Dharma is recommended. The aim of the Varnashram divisions, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas, is to train one to control the senses and be content with the bare necessities. Here, Lord Vamanadeva, as an ideal brahmachari, refuses Bali Maharaja's offer to give him anything he might want. He says that without contentment, one could not be happy even if he possessed the property of the entire world or the entire universe. In human society, therefore, the Brahminical culture, Kshatriya culture, and Vaishya culture must be maintained. And people must be taught how to be satisfied with only what they need. In modern civilization, there is no such education. Everyone tries to possess more and more, and everyone is dissatisfied and unhappy. The Krishna consciousness movement is therefore establishing various farms, especially in America, to show how to be happy and content with minimum necessities of life and to save time for self-realization, which one can very easily achieve by chanting the Mahamantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, the great chant for independence. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Yavanto Vishaya Prishtas Trilokyam Ajitendriyam Nashaknuvanti Te Sarve Pratipurayitum Nripa. The Personality of Godhead said, O my dear King, even the entirety of whatever there may be within the three worlds to satisfy one's senses cannot satisfy a person whose senses are uncontrolled. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chaksurum Militam Yanatasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Amam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunjavadi Paschatya Desha Tarine Pancha Kalpatrubhyascha Kipa Sindhu Vyayvacha Patitanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnavi Bhyo Namo Namaha. So it is actually a very strong verse that describes perfectly the situation of our wrongly wanting to be independent of Krishna. Actually, it is a very appropriate verse to analyze and purport to analyze on this day that the outside world is celebrating so-called independence, 4th of July. Independence, of course, is known by so many other names, even in our Vedic literature. Freedom and liberation, they're all synonyms of this independence. Freedom, liberation, mukti. And this independence is very important in our Krishna consciousness movement, because as we have heard so many times from Srila Prabhupada, that misuse of independence, we are here in the material world. So for some people, it may be a great thing. Well, it's great, I'm here in the material world. Actually, for most of the people, this material world is great, because no matter what, they don't want to leave. It is a very unfortunate situation. The pauper is proud of his penny. It's another meaning of this saying, that everyone is happy or proud with whatever he has, although he may have nothing. So the actual situation is that in this material world we are very much bound up And by misuse of the real independence, we do have independence, we are entitled to independence, but by misuse of that independence, we become more and more entangled and enslaved, but in such a terrible situation and condition that we think that we are independent, although we are becoming more and more entangled at every step. So there are many bad qualities that come with that so-called independence. And one general mood of the so-called independent person is being described here in this very strong verse, where Lord Krishna, in his incarnation of Lord Vamanadeva, is saying, "My dear king, even the entirety of whatever there may be within the three worlds to satisfy one's senses cannot satisfy a person whose senses are uncontrolled." Just see what is the condition. And this is not just the condition of one or two people in this material world, but it is the unavoidable situation of anyone who has not come to the stage of his real independence. That means almost every single one of us. Unless we attain that stage of total freedom, of real mukti, which is described in Srimad Bhagavatam, mukti hitonyata rupam swarupena vyavastiti. There is a true independence that we should be striving for. But in general, it is very common that these people, they are actually bound by so many desires, as it is described in Bhagavad Gita in chapter 16. These people may include many of us. And chapter 16, if you remember, is the chapter of the description of the divine and demoniac nature. And this is a characteristic of the demoniac nature, that there is nothing that will satisfy them. And so much they have today, and it's just to think how much more happy they would be if they had more, and how much more they have to look for in the days to come. So, as members, as Srila Prabhupada is explaining in the purport very nicely about the implication, he's quoting Lord Rishabhadev. And this condition is actually described in the Srimad Bhagavatam as a pramata. Pramata means craziness. And there are different degrees of that craziness, but that madness. But one way or the other, anyone who is trying to enjoy this material world is considered crazy, because the enjoyment of this material world entails as being described in Srimad Bhagavatam, Shavid Varahostra Karai, Samstuta Purusha Pashu. The Srimad Bhagavatam describes why this tendency to enjoy this body and these senses, and therefore this material world, is crazy. It's described by four examples, how people, by doing this, they think they become very advanced, but actually they become one of four kinds of animals: Shra, Vid, Varaha, Ustra, and Karai. So, Srila Prabhupada always mentioned that in this tendency to enjoy this world, the epitome, I think you said, is that correct? Epitome. Is the tendency, the attraction between male and female. And in this same Srimad Bhagavatam, in the fifth canto, where this verse, Nunam Pramata Kurute Vikarma, is quoted, is presented. Also, the verse is there, Pumsa Striya Mituni Bhavam Etam. And in seventh canto also is mentioned by Prahlad Maharaj, Yan Maitunadi Grihamedi Sukam Hitu Cham. In second canto is mentioned, Griheshu Grihamedinam, Apashatam Atmatatvam, Griheshu Grihamedinam. So there is no doubt that this is the strongest attraction. And therefore, attraction in this case is just like in the scientific world. Attraction means a binding force. And it is definitely a very strong binding force, and everything else is just a manifestation of this sex attraction. So it is no easy business, as we were beginning to say yesterday, no easy business to get rid of this attraction. And we should not despise it or minimize it, take it for granted. And not even if we are so nicely protected by ourselves trying to become preachers in this Krishna consciousness movement. It is a fact that being in this position, it is a great shelter that we have in this Krishna consciousness movement. And we in this material world are definitely like special agents of Krishna. It has been a very great boon, very great gift given by us, by Srila Prabhupada, of making us members, one way or the other, of this Krishna consciousness society, Krishna consciousness movement. But we definitely, the tendency is there, as Prabhupada explained, that the tendency is always there, as so many other bad tendencies that we acquire in this material world. The tendency is there for things to deteriorate. And in time, even this Vaishnava movement may become deteriorated if, as Srila Prabhupada said, its members do not stick very strongly to the principles that should guide them or us. So it is a great worry on the one hand, because we are very impatient to see Srila Prabhupada being recognized as the greatest personality that has appeared in so many years, and that is to appear in so many years in this material world. As his followers, we are very much moved and inclined to see his real glory appreciated by the public in general. Not just because of just the fact itself to see such a great personality being glorified, but because the glorification of him will mean that so many more people, and probably the whole world, is going to be saved from further suffering in this material world. Some way or the other, we have been injected by this need to help others. Although, truly, our tendency, I'm speaking for myself at least, was always just to try, was always to be in this category being described here, that there was nothing in this world that could satisfy us, and that this planet, as we see, becomes even a small place for a person. Therefore now they're trying to go to other planets, so-called. At least in their minds, they're always thinking like that, whether it's happening or not. We will not discuss that. But in their minds, they're always thinking of other worlds, because this one is already very small. And as it is commonly said, for two men, just two, who have this tendency, who are controlled by their senses, the world is also very small. And in chapter 16 of Bhagavad Gita, again, it has been described how the one is trying to even kill the other. So, this glorification of Srila Prabhupada is very important, because he is the one who has brought the true medicine and the true true song that will cut these chains in this Western world. It is very important that his teachings, his movement, is representing the knowledge that will liberate absolutely everyone. I was very surprised yesterday to come across a tape by Srila Prabhupada in which he says, "Even myself, I'm surprised when I read these purports." Speaking of his purpose, he says, even myself, I'm surprised. Everything is so perfect by Krishna's grace. So therefore, he's given a little hint how he's been so much moved and directed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. And we should understand that this knowledge being presented in these purports is so perfect. Yesterday in that lecture, actually it was just an informal conversation, and he was analyzing the first chapters of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1. He was very much relishing, just in an informal meeting, he had a devotee read out from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Actually, he was just checking how they had edited, and he just changed the mood and just forgot, or just didn't continue analyzing like that, and immediately he just went into relishing the Srimad Bhagavatam himself and relishing the purports. And he was saying how he himself became surprised by reading these purports, which just describes the nature of this knowledge, that even the writer himself is over and over relishing, and how he's seeing new things in the very things he presented in his very glorification of Sri Krishna. So we should know it for sure that this knowledge is the only thing, the only panacea, that will actually liberate these people. It is just when they come, it is specifically Srila Prabhupada's presentation that is meant for this Western world. And we have seen how it is meant for the Adira, for the worst of the worst, for the people who are completely and totally under the influence of this idea. There is no peace or independence. There cannot be independence. Just like in the Bhagavatam, the wrong understanding of independence is also mentioned up to the point of liberation. How someone, even in the transcendental plane or in the transcendental path, it is said there in 10th canto, Yeravindaka vimukta maninas, Toiyastabhava avishudha buddhaya, a verse very much liked by Srila Prabhupada, which describes, just imagine that even the people on the transcendental path become bewildered and cheated by a wrong sense of independence. What to speak of the people who are controlled by their senses? No possibility of real independence or peace. Srila Prabhupada quotes a verse where in Nectar of Instruction, in the first text, in the purport, he quotes that verse ending in Krishna nahi poi, Krishna nahi poi. There is no Krishna. He says, this verse says that for him who is always trying to satisfy his senses, who is looking here and there for the satisfaction, especially is being mentioned the belly and genitals, he who is trying to satisfy his tongue and his genitals, for him there is no peace and much, much less Krishna. Krishna nahi pai, he will not get Krishna. There is no Krishna for him. And in the same way, it is said by Prahlad Maharaj, Nate vidhu sarta gatim hi Vishnu, turashayaye bahirartamani nas, solayandaya tandai rupani yamanas, te pisha tantram urudhamni badha. It says badha, how, as we are called nitya badha, that we are eternally conditioned. There are strong ropes of material nature tying us. And unless and until we take the proper medicine, which is the knowledge given by our Srila Prabhupada, there is no possibility of liberating ourselves. So we in the Krishna Consciousness Movement have a very heavy responsibility of putting in practice, of making a reality the things that Srila Prabhupada describes in his books. Actually, you see, for example, Srila Prabhupada had such an understanding of this knowledge, of the power of it. And he thought that we had really taken to it, because it is a fact that if we do take to it, immediately we become totally liberated in his understanding of liberation. Just like, for example, you will come across a letter in the beginning, in the first letters of his relationship with his disciples way back in 67. where he gave sannyas initiation, and he said this devotee has now become completely Krishna conscious. He expressed like that. He has taken initiation, sannyas initiation, now he has become completely Krishna conscious. Someone with just 1 year or so in the movement was considered by Prabhupada in that occasion to have come to the stage of total Krishna consciousness. So, it puts you to wonder what was Srila Prabhupada's idea in saying all these things. So many times he said, my disciples are all pure devotees. What is the meaning of those statements being repeated over and over throughout the years? Not just casual talk here and there, but those things we have heard from Srila Prabhupada, and we can encounter them as we again revise all of his teachings and talks. We will see those things over and over again. What is the meaning? And the meaning is that while we take and follow the things as he presented them, we are liberated, although even ourselves we may not understand it. And he does say this specifically. In third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, he says that even the third class devotees, Kanishta Adhikaris, are liberated souls. He gives this very impressive statement. He says, even the third class devotees are liberated souls. And he says, he continues explaining, as they worship the deity, as they see the deity, they become imperceptibly liberated. So what to speak of those devotees directly engaged in the preaching movement? But unfortunately, because we do feel a sense of liberation, it is a fact that although we may find so many difficulties within the movement and specifically within our community at some point, and some devotees are already calling doomsday, still, it is a fact that imperceptibly we do feel that easiness that is not felt and we had not felt in the material world, and we do not feel when we go out there. And because of that sense of not having too much pressure from the pangs of material nature, we forget. The tendency of forgetfulness is always there. And therefore, we feel very comfortable and we may lose our guard. We may not keep our guard, which means we may not keep all the items that are part of this Krishna consciousness movement, and every single one of them is very important. So one thing that is becoming in this America, North America especially, I see it's becoming more and more a big problem, because it is a very strong mentality here to bring the sexes together. And as we were saying, this female and male attraction is very strong. And we've seen so many people like coming to our movement. Even there's a conversation with Srila Prabhupada. There's a lady, the mother of a devotee, and she's saying, "Why are you all so obsessed with sex life?" She's an older lady, and she's saying, "You know, this has its place. You know, what's the big problem about it?" But she's putting it as something insignificant, but we understand it is very insignificant when you spend your whole life engaged in such activities. But just try for some time to become celibate, and let's see how insignificant it is, especially for young people like ourselves. So it is not such an insignificant thing. Unfortunately, here in North America it is, and then North America means the whole world, because everybody is following. The aspiration of every single country is just to become North America. Even you know, the communist countries, one way or the other, they just want to have so many things from here. They have so many spies stealing things from North America. So, North America means the whole world. So the tendency is there. It has gone even into India. So this Vedic culture is very difficult to be found anywhere. Even to India, this thing of men and women being the same. Now, we have been very much misunderstood, and therefore our movement is very much attacked precisely by this point, and they call it chauvinism. One devotee was telling me how he bought for 50 cents the third canto, part 4 of Srimad Bhagavatam in UCLA in a I think, well, I can't remember, in some sale, 50 cents sale of used books. And he bought it without looking inside. He just bought it trying to save one of Srila Prabhupada's books. So once he opened it, of course you may remember this is the Kapiladev Bhagavatam, which says a few things about relationship between man and woman. And when he opened it, it was all scribbled on the spaces there, on the margins and like that. And and the main thing was this idea of chauvinism. We were being charged with chauvinism, and this idea of controlling the senses and separating man from woman became the topic of the person who was scribbling there. So this idea, you see, it's very much unpalatable to the people, this separation. And one way or the other, that there is some influence of that infiltrating in our movement. It is a very difficult, it's becoming a very difficult thing for our devotees, for ourselves, to not try to make friendships with the other sex. This is not correct, you see. Man and woman, they're described in Srimad Bhagavatam as fire and butter. And in the macho conception, the man may think he's fire, but actually that's not the truth. According to Bhagavatam, perfect knowledge, man is just butter, and when he comes in contact with woman, then he melts. And there's no other explanation to this. We have to understand what was Srila Prabhupada's mood. Now it is very common, everybody is saying, yes, we are all followers of Srila Prabhupada, we are all trying to make this very prominent. But followers of Srila Prabhupada means that we are saying the same things he said. Like he said in 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, a society where man and woman speak as equals, it is a society of animals. It is animal life. This is not in any way, and this is where the misunderstanding has come. This is not in any way to belittle or offend, insult woman, which is where the misunderstanding arises. It is not a question of insulting or putting down anyone. It is just a system to become independent. It is the system of life by which we have some kind of possibility to get rid of the intense sufferings created by the illusion of thinking we can enjoy. So this system has to be followed. If we at all claim that we can follow these four principles, one of them, and very important one, being the non-illicit sex, if we want to really be able to say this very clearly and with all our hearts, that we follow this principle, no illicit sex, we have to understand that we are not made of a different flesh from everybody else. You see? It is not that our flesh, in our case, we are fire. No. So if we do not keep in mind all these principles of Krishna consciousness, then there is every chance, and it will happen and it is happening, that we will not be able to understand perfectly all the other things. We will start mentally criticizing Prabhupada, criticizing his teachings as very archaic, you see, as teachings that are not proper for this time, that cannot blend into the American culture. And then we will, like it is said outside, we will sell our souls to the devil, kind of. We will fall into that situation that just to attract cheap followers, then we will, allow all kinds of things to go rampant in our communities, especially this thing of dallying with women, speaking very freely, making jokes and laughing and all this kind of thing, which now seems to be very normal. This tendency is there in everyone. It is not, as I was saying yesterday, it is not that I come from above and I'm saying this to save the world, but I'm trying to get help that you may not see me also developing some mustache and being in this way, winking eyes and laughing and in this loose behavior. I am fearful because that tendency is always there. Who is saved? In that third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said only Nara Narayan Rishi.
Of course, the pure devotee has the full protection of Naranarayan Rishi, who is Krishna himself. But who can claim that he's completely freed, just a madman? So, Srila Prabhupada was also saying like that. Some priest was criticizing and saying, well, your disciples, yes, they're pure today, but what about tomorrow? He said, well, you know, they may be pure, but just because of the circumstances, he said. Just like someone in a shipwreck, he may be alone in an island. So because of that, of course he's not having any success. How can he? He said. But so this may be the situation of your disciples. You know, right now, for some circumstance, they're avoiding these things, but what about tomorrow? So Prabhupada did not accept this argument, and he said, if they're acting nice, they're nice. We are concerned with what they are now. So, this meaning that if we do act, and he was speaking more about it and saying, of course, it will be hypocrisy if within they remain with these desires. But it is a fact that the thing will come from the outside, that by behaving properly from the outside, it will get into the inside, and the inside will automatically become purified. So if we do remain very strictly attached to all these principles, which is a complete set of things, beginning from the way we look, it has to do with the way we dress, and especially concerning the women. And if we do follow very strictly these things, and very strictly follow the rules of association, which is that Prabhupada assured the brahmachari, even the brahmachari in 7th canto, he assured him that there is no problem in even having some relationship with women as long as it's related to service. And that if one, as long as, of course, it's related to one service, and he says there in 7th canto, that if one is determined not to have an intimate connection with women, there is nothing that can make him fall down. He will not have a fall down. He assures this. So we can, he said, and he gives you an example, just like in a fasting day, we do fast and we are not attracted by the food, by eating. He gives this example. So in the same way, if we are determined to fast from this relationship as brahmacharis, then it is a fact that we will be able, we will be protected, but we will be protected if we take the protection, if we take the shelter, which is to follow very rigidly the instructions given by Srila Prabhupada. It's a little bit late, probably I can take one question. I always cut off without allowing any question or comment. So if anyone has any question or any answer, we can, yes. Can be what? What is your question? That's correct. Yes. Yes. So, Prabhu is mentioning that the Varnashram system is above Vaishnavism, so that some devotees in our movement may be feeling that we should, that Varnashram is for our movement. So the point is that, yes, both things are correct, both ideas, yours and theirs. Because, of course, yours idea, which is that Vaishnavism is above Varnashram, is the prevalent and prominent idea. But it is a fact that Srila Prabhupada wanted us some way or the other to organize this Varnashram system. So it remains, which means that we should give example of this organization. And he wanted, there's many talks about this. And of course, when we at some point or the other, we should engage in very deeply trying to understand his instructions, collecting every single piece of information that we have about this point coming from him to try to understand as much as so many other subject matters, we have to try to understand what exactly he meant or what exactly he wanted to get the mood of his idea, the mood that he had about this point. Obviously, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he gave very clear examples of how a devotee is above Varnashram, especially in his talk with Ramananda Roy, in which Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became disciple, and Ramananda Roy himself, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu being sannyasi, he became disciple, and Ramananda Roy being grihastha became guru in their relationship. And this was just, actually was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaking through Ramananda Roy, as we know, but it was just an external drama being enacted to teach us how a devotee should be above and should not consider any other Vaishnava that he's a Shudra, I'm a Brahman, and this kind of mentality, which is in what ended the wrong Varnashram understanding in India, of being proud of being a Brahman and like that. So obviously this is not the idea, that in our movement we're going to start having this kind of discriminations, that a Vaishnava is going to be considered a Shudra. This is very much offensive. But as a matter of fact, a devotee can take any kind of activity. So we can give an example, like Prabhupada was speaking today of the farms, and at the end of this purport, how he was expecting more and more our movement to have these farms, and give an example of Varnashram society. But that's just a division of work. Just like a devotee may be put to wash the pots of Krishna. But as Prabhupada said, we should not think that is different. Or washing the temple, specifically, he said, cleaning the temple. It is not in any way different from dressing the deities. And he specifically gave that example, that I may not be here scrubbing the floor and think, oh, that devotee in there inside the altar, he's so much, you know, that's the real service. I'm just here a Shudra. Especially, of course, one may feel very meek and humble, but no one else should think, oh, the one who's scrubbing the floor, it's just because he's a Shudra, so that's all he can do. But we understand that Mandira Marjanado, we are being trained by the gurus to become sweepers in the temple of the Lord. We are singing this every day. Sri Bigrahara Dhana Nitanana Shringaratan Mandir Amarjanado. How to become the cleanser of the temple. This Cheto Darpana Marjanam, this Marjanam, this Marjanado means to clean. So we are trying to become sweepers actually in the temple of the Lord. So in that way we're all trying to become Shudras for Krishna in one sense, but not in quality of our hearts and our feelings and our general activities, behavioral activities. Shudra means also the wrong meaning. He who is lamenting for that which has no reason to be lamented for. So in this way, both things are correct. If we implement Varnashram, it is just as an example. But not that we are going to rubber stamp a devotee. He's a Shudra, he cannot be initiated, and so many things like that. This is not for our movement. It is just for organization of work and to give the example to the general society so that we can organize them also in that way. Jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Today we will speak.